Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello again, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. Today on the program, we have two stories on the religion of Islam. Destroying important cultural artifacts in the name of religion is not new. Protestants destroyed statues they considered idolatrous or against their Christian faith in the 16th century. Now, a video is showing members of the Islamic State group destroying ancient treasures in Iraq. The group called the treasures un-Islamic. Ann Ball has more.
Senators spoke out against their actions at a recent hearing on Capitol Hill.
This is not 10-15, this is 2015. And as I speak, people are being crucified. People are being burned alive. They're being beheaded.
Lindsey Graham, a Republican senator from South Carolina, led the hearing on the Islamic State group. Its leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, claims to be the caliph of a reestablished medieval Muslim empire that existed hundreds of years ago. Conservative Christian activist Jay Sekulow believes the Islamic claim is authentic or real.
That's what they call themselves. They call themselves the caliphate. Caliph Ibrahim believes he's the leader of worldwide Islam. So whatever we want to call them, in one sense, is irrelevant because that's who they are.
Lawmakers on Capitol Hill are struggling to find the best way to respond to the militant groups. Meanwhile, public figures are debating over whether the Islamic State group should be seen as part of Islam or a deviation from the faith. John Esposito is a professor of Islamic studies at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C.
From my point of view, what you've got is the hijacking of religion.
Professor Esposito says the militants misunderstand the command in the Quran to kill unbelievers wherever they find them.
When that scripture was uttered, it had nothing to do with Christians and Jews at that point. It had to do with pagan Meccans who were at that point persecuting Muslims. And God in the Quran was saying to them, if they're fighting you, you have a right to fight back.
Some observers say that Islam needs a reformation, like when the Protestants separated from the Catholic Church. They say that such a reformation would reject the traditional understanding of Scripture. But John Esposito warns that these observers should be careful what they wish for. After all, European history has had many conflicts over religious ideas and values.
They'll say Islam needs a reformation. I sometimes say to some of my Muslim friends, what they're really saying then is genocide ought to take place, or close to it. Because we think of the Reformation as the Enlightenment, and we forget the Hundred Years' Wars.
Mr. Esposito says, throughout time, people have used religion to support political power and warfare. I'm Ann Ball.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA, Learning English. Thank you. The country of Turkey plans to launch an international mosque program that will build mosques across Asia, Africa, and Europe. Observers say Turkey's president wants to establish Turkey as the leader of the Muslim world. But as we hear from Jim Tedder, other countries may also be interested in leading the Islamic world.
Turkey currently is building 18 large Islamic religious centers around the world. The projects include a mosque in Tirana, Albania, which will hold more than 4,000 worshippers. Turkey will also build mosques in the United States, Russia, and Kyrgyzstan. It has similar projects set for the Philippines, the United Kingdom, the Palestinian territories, and Somalia. Observers say President Erdogan's goal is to establish Turkey as leader of the Muslim world. This was the country's position during the Ottoman Empire, which ruled from the 14th century through the early 1900s. Asli Aydintashbaş writes about politics for Turkey's Milliyet newspaper. She says the president cares very much about his historic legacy and his international legacy. She also says he wants Turkey and the world to see him as a person who has advanced the interests of Islam and Muslims. She says this is why he so strongly supports the mosque-building project. Yüksel Taşkın is an expert on politics at Istanbul's Marmara University. He says President Erdogan and his ruling AK party share the goal of returning Turkey to the power of its Ottoman past. Mr. Taşkın says the party is trying to recreate the golden age of Islamic civilization. He says the AKP sees Turks as the leaders of such a rebirth. The Diyanet is the government group that administers the Islamic faith in Turkey. President Erdogan has expanded the group's international office. Supporting religious education is a main element in Turkey's campaign for greater influence over Islam internationally. Turkey has offered financial assistance to foreign students who want to attend its universities. The government also supports international student exchanges. However, Turkey is not the only country interested in leading the Islamic world. Other Muslim countries, especially Saudi Arabia, are also seeking to fill the role. For many years, Saudi Arabia has been spreading its oil money around Islamic countries. Ishtar Gozaydin is a professor of religion and politics at Istanbul's Doğuş University. She says the Balkans is the main region for the competition between Turkey and Saudi Arabia. She says she thinks the two countries once balanced each other in efforts to build mosques and create communities for them. But now, she says, it is more of a competition, especially in Bosnia. Experts say President Erdogan may well be looking to the language of the street to rise above such obstacles. Increasingly, his speeches appear to be aimed at ordinary Muslims in Turkey and around the world. His talks often include a strong anti-Western message. Politics writer Asli Aydintashbaş says the president is behaving as if he already leads the world's Muslims. She says she thinks Mr. Erdogan believes he would be elected leader of the Muslim world if the community could hold such a vote. President Erdogan is increasingly campaigning against what he considers the growing threat of Western Islamophobia, prejudice against or fear of the religion of Islam and Muslims. He is also demanding that the United Nations Security Council create a permanent seat for a Muslim nation. Observers warn that such rhetoric is likely to continue as Turkey's campaign to lead the Islamic world progresses. I'm Jim Tedder.
And that's all the time we have for today. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans. Thanks for listening.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
Researchers recently completed a study of a new method of giving health care to women in northern Nigeria. They found women and children would use health services more often when they could see a female health worker. Northern Nigeria is a conservative area with a population that is mostly Muslim. Dr. Sally Finley is a professor at Columbia University Medical Center. She co-wrote the report on the study. She said it is unusual for women to work as healthcare providers there.
Most women are not expected to be living on their own, providing healthcare essentially 24/7, or riding around meeting with families in the scattered hamlets.
Nigeria has one of the world's highest death rates of women connected with pregnancy and childbirth. This is called the maternal death rate. The worst rate of maternal death in Nigeria is in the northern region. Male health workers do travel from town to town, but many women patients do not want to talk with a man about their own health care needs. Dr. Finley said the trial study in Jigawa State required that many in the community be involved. It also needed support from religious leaders, even on such matters as transportation for the workers.
We had to get permission from the state imam, the leader of all the Muslims in Jigawa, to have these female-friendly motorcycles and give permission for them to use them.
The program brought women into northern Nigeria as community health extension workers. It seems they were a big success in their community. There were 5 times more visits to the health center after the women health workers arrived than before. Dr. Findlay said the program changed the minds of the women taking part.
Yes, in fact, they did like this, and it did change their understanding of what they could get if they went to the facility for care.
The women of northern Nigeria could get health care at all hours in the local clinic. Mothers got help from women when they had normal births. If a mother giving birth needed more help, the community health extension workers sent her to a hospital. They also gave advice on family planning. Each clinic had 2 health workers. That way, one could go out on home visits, while the other was available to provide services in the clinic. State officials in Jigawa were happy with the positive results of the study. They plan to expand the program of women community health workers. The paper that describes the program by Sally Findlay and her co-authors is published in the journal Global Health, Science and Practice. I'm